If you've ever watched even a single episode of the TV trivia game show Jeopardy, then you know that there's a way things work, right? Contestants usually make their way through the board one category at a time, and they choose usually to make their way through that category in systematic fashion, starting with the lowest dollar amount and working their way down top to bottom to the highest dollar amount, right? That's just how Jeopardy is supposed to work. Recently, however, Arthur Chu became an 11-time champion and won nearly $300,000 by turning conventional wisdom on its head. Chu gained both notoriety and not a little hate mail from Jeopardy purists by jumping around the board and aggressively looking for the daily doubles that help maximize your earnings. And he came across as both brusque and brash. He's just kind of mean, and this in a game that usually values civility and gentility. So when Chu finally lost the other week, and lost in really spectacular fashion, some commentators could barely contain their glee. The Washington Post's style blogger, for instance, documented in savage detail every single question that Arthur Chu got wrong on tonight's Jeopardy. Wrong, 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 she shouted. She might as well have been writing the headline for Jesus' rest stop in Sychar in Samaria. Every single convention Jesus got wrong puts him in Jeopardy. I don't mean he met Alex Trebek. I mean he really got in trouble. Because to the purists who watched the scene, Jesus violated all the conventional rules of proper social behavior. For starters, most Jews did not want to spend any more time in Samaria than was strictly necessary. In fact, some Jews traveling north from Jerusalem or other points in Judea, all the way up north to Galilee, as Jesus and his disciples were doing, avoided Samaria altogether. This is because Samaria was, frankly, not a good place from a Jewish perspective. For one thing, Jews and Samaritans disagreed about what was the right place to worship. The Jews insisted that God's people ought to worship in the temple in Jerusalem. The Samaritans, on the other hand, had built their own shrine on Mount Gerizim and were content to worship God there. For another thing, Jews regarded Samaritans as having mixed ethnic heritage, descending on one side of the family from native Israelites not important enough to have been deported, and descending on the other side of the family from the foreigners the Assyrians had dragged in and put in their place when the Assyrians conquered the northern kingdom in 722 BC. So from that Jewish perspective, the Samaritans were country cousins and didn't have a very impressive pedigree. In the second place, Jewish men would not have thought it proper to start a conversation with an unknown woman, especially a woman at a well. Wells were places where women gathered, I suppose, much like today's hair salon. For a man to hang out at a well meant that he had one thing on his mind, the kind of thing that starts with him asking, "What's a nice girl like you doing at a well like this?" Little wonder then that his disciples were astonished to find Jesus chatting up a girl when they had brought back takeout. Finally, Jesus should have had nothing to do with this woman. He should have had no contact with her. Jews have nothing in common with Samaritans. Jesus should have done nothing to invite contact with this woman, like asking her for a drink, because doing so would have risked ritual contamination. There's no telling what Jesus might have come down with had he actually taken a drink of Samaritan water drawn from a Samaritan well in a Samaritan woman's bucket. The whole thing was wrong, 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 wrong as Arthur Chu and his last day on Jeopardy. But if everything is wrong, then you're probably wondering why. Why would Jesus be in the wrong place at the wrong time, talking with the wrong person and asking for the wrong thing. Well, first, Jesus had to be in Samaria. Jesus was in Sychar in Samaria because he had to be there. On the one hand, as we've noted, Samaria lies between Judea in the south and Galilee to the north. If you were traveling to Galilee from Jerusalem, as Jesus and his disciples were, then you had to go through Samaria. To do otherwise meant going the long way around. But on the other hand, when the Bible said it was necessary that, or it had to be the case that, it usually means that God's will or God's plan is involved, that God intends for something to happen. In other words, it's no accident that Jesus is in Sychar in Samaria. It's also no accident that Jesus showed up at the well at noon. That's lunchtime in most places and provides an excuse for Jesus to send off his disciples in search of food in order for him to be alone. It also means that, unlike Nicodemus, about whom we heard last week, Jesus' conversation with this woman happens in broad daylight. If Nicodemus had been afraid to be seen with Jesus and so came to him at night, this woman certainly wasn't afraid to be seen with Jesus. Which is unusual because noon is not the normal time for women to go to the well. Women went to the well either in the morning or in the evening in the cool of the day, not in the heat of the midday sun. So either this woman is desperate for water, or she's desperately seeking to avoid the condescending and judgmental looks of her neighbors. Jesus knew full well that she'd had five husbands and that the person she was living with now wasn't her husband, but unlike her neighbors, Jesus did not judge the woman. Whatever her background, it's a lot more interesting to us who disclaim reading People magazine than it is to Jesus. And it's no accident that the person Jesus encountered was, in fact, a woman. In Jewish eyes, a less desirable conversation partner was scarcely conceivable. Talking in public with an unknown woman of mixed ethnic heritage, questionable religious affiliation, and even more questionable marital arrangements was an outrage. Asking her for a drink was completely unthinkable. It was beyond the pale. Jesus should have had nothing to do with her. But the woman was precisely Jesus' kind of person. As I think about everything that is wrong with this stop on the journey, I think about all those things that are meant to keep you and me out of the wrong situations. The guidebooks and the websites that steer us to the right restaurants or hotels or shops. The landmarks, like highways and bridges, that speed us past blighted neighborhoods or urban areas. The social cues, like dress or mannerisms, that prevent us from engaging other persons, whether those others are racial or religious, ethnic or economic, social or sexual minorities. We live in the right neighborhoods. We send our kids to the right schools. We work in the right places. We even worship in the right churches. And we do it precisely so that we will never end up in Samaria. But Jesus went there. In fact, Jesus had to go there. Not simply because it was the most direct route home, but because Jesus was on God's errand. Jesus was doing God's work. You see, someone in Samaria was weary of going to the well alone, day after day after day, just to avoid being judged by others. Someone in Samaria was tired of the life she had led, belonging to a string of men who had died or divorced or otherwise deserted her. Someone in Samaria was burdened by rejection and ridicule because of her ethnicity and her religious affiliation. Someone in Samaria longed to be appreciated for who she was and acknowledged for being human, not a half-breed or a heretic. Someone in Samaria was thirsty for the refreshment of life-giving waters, tired as she was of the same old, same old. Someone in Samaria sought a place where she could worship in spirit and truth, being who she was, without pretense or falsehood, and yet being open to being changed by the power of truth, a truth that would make her free. My friends, if you are that someone, if you are that someone in Samaria, in that in-between place that everyone else would just as soon avoid, if you are that someone and you come tired and thirsty to a well, be on the lookout. The lookout for a man who asks what a nice person like you is doing at a well like this. That man will know everything you've ever done, and he will love you all the same. That man will change your life forever.